All right, folks, welcome back to Life's Mountain West Basketball. Or, I'll keep it here. Mountain West Wire Basketball Podcast. There we go. That's right. And my daylight saving time screwed with me, Eli. That's what happened.
Oh, man. Are you Justin okay?
I'm good. My pets are not so much, but it happens.
They're
weird. Like, feed me. It's time to eat. I'm like, oh, I guess it is. Have some food. This is our final basketball podcast before we get to the actual regular season. Check us out, mwire.com. We have a million basketball-related items up on the site, team previews, capsules, top 25, bold predictions we'll get to at the end. And we got some news items from a couple different players who may not be playing or could be playing. But this particular episode we're going to focus on, because we are time cut up to us, Eli, Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State, UNLV. That's who are the teams we're talking about today. And then, like I said, we may do some big picture stuff. But the season, if you're listening to this, it's probably Monday, I'm guessing. Nevada takes on BYU day one, game one, right? That's a big game, and a few others. Yep. And as for our schedule, we'll figure it out as we go, but we'll probably do something, what, once a week maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Once every 10 days. Try to do that. We'll see. Because the schedule's so weird, it's hard to talk about stuff where, oh, there's a game tomorrow, or there's a game right now. So it's like, well, we'll see. But we'll keep you guys updated a couple times a month, and then more regular once the actual conference season comes around, because it's easier that way to keep a good schedule to knowing who plays when and what to talk about. So what team should we go through first on the list here? Boise, Fresno, San Diego State, or UNLV? What's your choice?
Let's go with Boise State first.
Ah, our good old team. Boise State, still year two removed from Nick Duncan, right? Is that what we're at? A couple years away?
Yep.
That's okay, though. Boise State, so...
Is it, though?
I don't know. It's never too old, right? He's always hanging around on Twitter occasionally, right?
Yeah, love that guy.
All right, so this team... What we do know, they lost their... Would you classify Chandler Hutchinson as their best player ever, perhaps?
I mean, for modern era, yeah. I would go that far.
Last 15 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Since he's actually been good the past 6 years?
Yeah. He's a good one.
All right, so for this team here, yeah, they lose Hutchinson. They lose Mike Alexis Williams. They lose Christian Snegfelder. That's a good name. Is that right? Snegfelder?
Yeah, sure. Christian Snegfelder. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to give that hard G for some reason. Snegfelder? No. But this team, okay, here's what we know about the team. They were predicted middle of the pack in the conference because we kind of know how the media ranked the teams as I'm scrambling. I did not put this in front of me. What were they? Were they fifth, I want to say?
I believe Boise State was fourth.
No, fourth. So they're basically behind Nevada. Here's what you know. They're not ahead of Nevada. They're not ahead of New Mexico. They're not ahead of San Diego State. Mm-hmm. So they're next in line. And I would argue, let's start the coaching staff super quick, because an argument could be made they might have the best coach in the Mountain West in Leon Rice.
There is definitely an argument there.
I know Nevada fans are throwing rocks at me, but I'm just saying he's one of the better coaches from what he's done for this team. I know Nevada's been terrible, or before Musselman came on, let me rephrase that, in between Trent Richardson and him. But he's done. You're up in freaking Boise. You're a football school. It's like, how many football combo basketball schools are really that good? So he also... I think he's also our favorite coach because he likes to light the floor on fire, literally.
He's a crazy guy and does a bunch of different things to help motivate his players, and also a lot of marketing for his program, saying he'll do certain stunts. Like last year, he rode a horse around campus so they could sell out a game. I think it might have been against Nevada, but yeah, he's an awesome coach, and he does a lot of fun things for the university as well.
You know what I call him? I'll call him the Mark Pope of the Mountain West. Because Mark Pope does some
crazy
stuff.
Okay, that's high praise.
I'm just saying, when you do your coaches show for Cherry Picker, want to do The Bachelor? Come on, you got to keep it up, right?
That's right.
But as for the team itself, so like we met, like kidding aside, Leon Rice is a really good coach. He's brought in Boise to be their best era ever. We're going to NCAA tournaments, a couple of Dayton appearances, and playing quite well. Getting a couple guys in the NBA or getting close to the NBA. So now let's start with this. Eli, they have to replace Hutchinson. Is it going to be one guy? Going to be two or three guys? Because I know Alex Hobbs is pretty good.
It's going to have to be a mix of guys. I think the addition of Roderick Williams, JUCO transfer, is going to be pretty huge. He'll probably be an immediate starter and could score upwards of 10, 11 points per game. But Marcus Dickinson and Alex Hobbs in the backcourt is going to be pretty pivotal. Both of those guys averaged fewer than 9 points a game last year. And so they'll have to step it up now with Chandler Hutchinson and his 20 points of production gone. But they'll have to see production from a number of different positions, I would imagine. And they could also come down low with guys like Zach Haney or David Wacker if they want to chip in a little bit more. But I don't think it's going to be just one player that can replace Chandler Hutchison. That would be asking quite a lot.
So when they come back, like, what would they? It's not going to be a different team that we normally see. And it's going to be the same team, just new faces. And probably, I'm guessing, instead of Hutchinson being like he was last year, the one guy, you just said, spread it around, have four guys double digits. Like, where do they, like, it's not just, sorry, I'm kind of scrambling here. I pulled up I got the year here. I'm not wrong with that. I'm just saying. Like, last time, where apparently I was looking at last year's one. But how would they adjust when they, because they're, not that you just watch Hutchinson play, but he took most of the shots, scored most of the points. They got to have some leader somewhere, right?
Well, I would say that last year might have been more of an anomaly because I don't think Boise State has had – they've had good players the last half decade or since Leon Rice joined the team in 2010. So their style is usually more based around spreading the ball and having a lot of movement on offense. So I think it'll revert to how they usually play offensively. Last year was a bit of an anomaly, I say, because – it's not often you have a scorer of Hutchinson's caliber and a guy that can be a first-round NBA draft choice. So I think you'll see a lot more balanced scoring than you did last year.
Yeah, because if you go back, I think years before, they had, like, joking aside, Nick Duncan would score some points. They have Drimmick score a lot of points. They had a lot of different guys. And also remember, because when Hutchinson, not to keep going back to him, but his improvement from year to year was one of the best in all of college basketball from – how many few games he played is the progression you don't see very often, where he played very few games, scored a couple points, and his production just kind of, his output was one of a kind. Do you think there's a guy who's done that the past year or two that could make a big leap, or like you said, are they just going to go and spread it around and maybe have their leading score be 12 to 13 points, but three guys do that?
Well, I think Justinian Jessup is probably going to lead the team in scoring. He's their leading returning scorer at nearly 12 points a game. One of the best perimeter shooters in the conference, and so I think he'll take a bit of a leap forward this season. But going back to our original points, I think the offensive production is going to be pretty well balanced. They do also add Pat Dembley, who's a pretty good JUCO transfer, and so he should be able to pitch in. He played quite a bit in Boise State's exhibitions. I've been hearing good things about him. So I think it's going to come in a variety of outlets, but Justinian Jessup, if you have to pick one, I think he's going to lead the team in terms of offense.
So to replace, not to keep, again, I'm going to go back to Hutchinson. First last year in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. So there's going to be a lot to have to make up for what he did. But because Leon Rice, he's had 7 20 win seasons out of 8. And so it doesn't matter who's coming through. He has good talent, and he coaches his guys up to play well. And so they have a decent amount of returning guys from last year as well, right? Besides Williams, who could start, Dembley's coming in as well from, like, the JUCO guys. It's not like a team where, yeah, you lose your best player, but it's not like they lose, like, 80% of their scoring or offensive or defensive production.
Yeah, it's not like the cabinet's completely empty. It's still a pretty solid roster top to bottom, but you lose a star player, and that's why throughout the offseason so many people have been asking, how do you replace Chandler Hutchison? And I don't think there is necessarily one answer to that question. But Leon Rice, I don't know if there's any other coach you would want to have this type of issue. Leon Rice will be able to figure it out.
I think he will as well. And watch they play and what they do throughout the year. It's like, just pay attention to them, because they're going to be a team with who's above them. They're going to sneak up on somebody like, what, you lost to Boise? You lost to what? San Diego State couldn't beat Boise State? What's going on? They're going to be a team, I think, that's going to sneak up on people just because there's a clear top four in this conference, right? I mean, well, obviously clear number one, I think. And then after that, it's not really that clear. It's kind of a gap after Aztecs and New Mexico.
I think Boise State's right in that conversation as well. If things come together as they should, I think Boise State will be right in that 2-4 range.
But preseason, people probably think, at least in my opinion, what I've seen, they're probably behind. People are talking more Aztecs. Because Aztecs fans are talking, we're going to win the conference. We're going to beat Nevada. We beat them last year. Lobo's like, we made the title game. We're going to do this. And Boise State lost in the quarterfinals of the Mountain West Tournament.
I mean, the Mountain West Tournament has been this program's Achilles heel the last few years. And that's the reason why they haven't notched nearly as many tournament appearances as you would imagine. So, I mean, they'll have to position themselves better for the Mountain West Tournament than they have in recent years. But even with the loss of Chandler Hutchison and also Sengfelder and Williams, two other senior starters, I think this team is going to be in really good shape They're an excellent rebounding team. They're fluid on offense. And getting to 20 wins, I think, is certainly attainable once again.
Well, and also, let's get their schedule really quick. They challenged themselves the non-conference schedule to look at the home, especially, let's start there, the home and home with Oregon. That's kind of rare. Top 15 team, home and home. They get Oregon. They go to Grand Canyon. They have a, play Drake, who's usually pretty decent. They have a decent non-conference schedule to challenge them just enough and some games where they can, oh, we got this. Idaho State, we're good. Alabama State, we're good. We can take care of those teams. So I like their schedule. It's enough where it's a good balance of good teams and some teams that they can get some confidence and win.
Yeah, and those two games against Oregon should be really competitive. We've seen what those two teams have done in recent years. Almost every game has been decided by one possession. The last year's buzzer beater, Lexus Williams at half court, and they've had some excellent games. So I think that this year's duo of games does favor Oregon, a top 15, top 20 team nationally. I think Boise State is able to win at least one of the games. I think they're capable of doing that the way these two teams play against one another. And that'll be a good quality win for Boise State if they're able to manage that. So I do like the schedule quite a bit. I think there are some nice tests away from home and definitely some winnable games as well. So I think they'll be in good shape.
I do like the head out to the Cayman Islands, which could be a decent to get Creighton, maybe playing St. Bonaventure's, Georgia State's okay teams, nothing amazing, but tournament setting, it's not like you're playing, what Utah State used to do for their local tournament, where they play like three non-Division I teams or something.
And there's a section in this non-conference schedule, they're away from home for quite a bit. They play Jackson State on November 16th, and they aren't back in Boise until they host Central Washington on December 8th. That's so right. They'll have to almost a month. They're Cayman Islands Classic. They're at Drake and at Grand Canyon over that span. And then they have just one more game at home, and then they're back on the road. So it's a trying schedule for sure.
What's up with them having an exhibition on Monday?
I don't know.
Are other teams doing that?
I feel like most of the exhibitions are just about wrapped up as of yesterday.
Yeah, I saw a couple on Sunday. Pac-12 Network was, because I was watching Utah lose to Arizona State in football. Great. But they were pumping like Arizona, blah, 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 Sunday exhibition. I'm like, okay, cool. Because their opener, because Boise's opener is November 10th. A lot of teams, because basketball's finally doing it right. They actually have with the Champions Classic, an essentially an opening day where they have a bunch of good teams and a nice tournament for a doubleheader on Tuesday the 6th, which is nice. But Boise doesn't tip until they host Idaho State on the 10th. So maybe it's a scheduling quirk of who they can get and win. But you're right, like after that game on the 16th, whew, they are away for a while. Then like Grand Canyon will be a tough one. Were they predicted to be the WAC champs this year, or was it New Mexico State?
I think it was still New Mexico State, but I want to say Grand Canyon was at least top three.
Yeah, that game's gonna challenge them well, and often they go to
tough place to play.
Yeah, I forget what the arena's called, but they put everything into basketball. Mm-hmm. They have nice seats. Dan Marley's in has spray tan. He doesn't need spray tan. You're a Phoenix fan. Go sit outside for 20 minutes. But I like their schedule. Then when they get in the league play, they have Alabama State, cool, whatever. LMU's are all right. It's like Pacific, Oregon. Then they got Wyoming and San Diego State. Their first three of four games are pretty tough in conference play. Not that we're going to go through every setup, but at Wyoming, San Diego State, whatever, at San Jose, then hosting Nevada. That's a pretty daunting way. Then add in Oregon as well the week before. That first week of January, first 2 weeks of January could be pretty telling, I think.
It could be, but if things click and get together, I think Boise State will be in a good position to finish strong. But this is one of the tougher non-conference schedules in the Mountain West this year.
I attempted to. I don't know if we'll get to it, but I was good to like a KenPom schedule ranking and non-conference schedule ranking. I'd be curious to see where that would be. It's hard to judge because of the tournament stuff. But you're right. I guess just the two Oregon games make up for a lot of teams. How many teams are playing two ranked opponents in non-conference play?
Not many. And also the neutral site game against Creighton is pretty big as well.
That is. That's part of the, what did it say? Cayman Islands on Facebook, folks. Facebook basketball. Anything else about this team? Because we're going to roll through a bunch of teams. We can't spend too much time in every single one here.
I don't really have any other notes to mention.
Where did you predict them in our preseason stuff?
I had Boise State fifth.
Did I have them fourth, I think?
I think so, yeah.
I don't remember. I should pull that up maybe. All right, next team. Let's get to Fresno State here. So Fresno State has, our top five, like Eli, Did you notice we had four? Was it four of the five were Nevada players? The top five, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Deshaun Taylor was the non was the highest rated guard and the highest rated non Nevada player number two. He could be a team like we kind of. I think we briefly touched on them last time with oh shoot, what's the name? Montel Frazier Harris.
Marvel Harris.
Marvel Harris with Fresno years ago, where he would put up 30 plus points and nearly beat Arizona and be competitive in the conference. Does Taylor have that same kind of capability, you think, possibly, to be the one guy to maybe, if they're going to get some upsets, it's because of him?
I mean, he can definitely take over, and his role this year is more point guard oriented. He's going to have the ball quite a lot. Fresno State does lose a number of their go-to scorers from this past season. Bryson Williams, Jerron Hopkins, Ray Bowles, Jamel Taylor, all those guys averaged more than 9 points a game last year, and they've graduated or transferred. So Deshaun Taylor will have to carry a lot more of the scoring load this year. So we could see some Justin James-type production or type nights out of Deshaun Taylor this year. That might have to be the case.
We can only hope, right?
It'll be fun.
So I guess we glossed over this. They have a new head coach. Maybe we should start with that, right? I kind of get it, but I don't get it, that Rodney Terry went to UTEP, of all places, because...
It's a bit of a head-scratcher.
Wasn't there, if I recall, I should look this up too, wasn't there some issues, like kind of administration a little bit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And him, so it's like, you go to UTEP, who, to give UTEP credit, they have been decent basketball occasionally. There's not like it's a wasteland going to some, no offense to random Big West or West Coast Conference school at the bottom, you know what I mean? So UTEP's Conference USA, they're okay, but they haven't been at three. Tim Floyd quit last year after, what, five games, I believe it was, six games. They've been bad of late, but it's a place where you could win. But they bring in Houston up, coming up the road from San Diego State, who brings in, I think, look who he's been coaching with Steve Fisher, with Dutcher, who's been there forever. I think it's clearly a good move because it was a shocker of them needing a coach, first of all, because didn't happen like during the Mountain West Tournament.
Yeah, the report came out
the day after they lost or something.
Yeah, I think so. All right, no, it was like a day before the Mountain West Tournament began because we had some fans that were chanting UTEP at Rodney Terry during the game.
Oh, imagine if they won the conference tournament. That wouldn't happen, but we're just saying. But bringing in the guy who is familiar with the conference, familiar with the state, and the league, it's a fine hire. It's a good hire. Because I don't remember who his candidates around. Probably who's the guy we joke about all the time? Who's always in the mix for a job? Former Nevada coach. Who was it?
I feel like there's a lot of different guys that we can go with that. Trent Johnson.
Yeah, was it Trent Johnson always in the mix? He wants a job again or something.
He wasn't really mentioned with this one. It was, I believe, the final two candidates were Hudson and Dedrick Taylor.
That's right. Oh, Taylor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a good hire. So we'll see how he comes out. But they also have a couple of transfers, like Noah Blackwell from Long Beach State, Braxton Huggins from New Mexico State. They have a couple of guys who are going to come in. Do you think they're going to start right away or be close to it?
Blackwell and Huggins should start immediately. Mm-hmm.
They're that good?
Yeah, for sure. And they'll carry some of the scoring load that was left from last year's players. But I think the X factor for this team is going to be some of their role guys. Like Sam Bittner is a very capable perimeter shooter. Nate Grimes, who sat out exhibition and close scrimmage due to eligibility concerns. I'm not sure if he's going to be ready for Tuesday's opener. We have him as one of our breakout candidates. He's been really productive in the short minutes that he played under Rodney Terry. So if he gets more playing time, I think he could be pretty solid. And then there's some quality guys on the bench.
So what do we know what Houston will do for this, like what they're going to do on offensively or defensively? Do we have any clue? Of what is he's gonna kind of run what San Diego State runs, which we're familiar with, a bunch of athletic players, staunch defense, and they have obviously a shooter and Taylor and a few other guys. Is that your understanding what they might do? Bring that same mentality?
I think it could be similar. I mean, I'm sure we'll see some traces of what Aztec basketball has been the last decade or so within Hudson's system, but it does sound like Justin Hudson wants to make this team run quite a bit. And pretty much every coach says that during media days or during the offseason that they want to control tempo and such. But I think with Fresno State, how this team is built, or at least how this roster is built, I think that would be a pretty good style offensively. As far as defense goes, it's probably going to be man-to-man, probably more standard to what San Diego State has been. And since Hudson has showed up in Fresno State, he's already signed or made offers to lanky type, long players, long wingspans, athletic. So that seems to be the type of build or the type of roster he's going to try to construct.
All right, so I know we're going to get to our bullet stuff later on, but how bold would it be for me to say Taylor could be player of the year?
I mean, he was number two in our ranking, so yeah. I think it's certainly possible. Obviously, the smart money is on a Nevada player, either one of the Martin twins or Caroline, but Deshaun Taylor could certainly do it.
Well, if you give me the field, clearly take a Nevada player. It's like, okay, would you take a Nevada player or anybody else in the conference? Would you take Nevada?
I mean, I feel like Justin James and Deshaun Taylor are going to put up some big numbers this year.
They'd have to, okay.
So that's tough.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I'd probably still go Nevada.
I would probably go Nevada to play it safe, but it's not completely unreasonable to think Taylor James could win player of the year.
All right, so let's get to their schedule here, because we want to bust through these. Don't spend too much time. All right, so they have a schedule. Yeah, they got Alaska Anchorage, TCU. Technically, as air quotes, power conference team, TCU.
They've got a decent program now. They're on the upswing.
Okay, they have. Isn't their head coach the guy who was at SFA?
At Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Oh,
Jamie Dixon.
Oh, Jamie Dixon. I thought they took the – no, he went to – never mind. I think Chris Beard, who was – whatever.
Oh, right.
I don't know why I thought about that. But they do have a decent schedule. Like, they got TCU. They have Northwestern. So when they play this tournament, is that Miami, Ohio, or Miami, Florida they could be facing? Out in Fullerton.
Miami, Florida, or LaSalle.
Okay, it just is Miami on the schedules. So they have a potential to play some pretty good teams, like Seton Hall's on there, Utah, maybe Grand Canyon, depending on how it plays out. Pacific's all right. Like, they have some decent – they like
California as well.
They play all the Cal schools. You know what I mean? Cal Poly, Long Beach State. They get every – hey, they get UVU. Yeah, excellent.
There you go.
Oh, man, it's not in Orem. I'd go – I now live like 4 minutes from the campus.
Should go and see – oh, no, it's at Fresno.
I know, I should.
How about that California game? We'll see former Boise State point guard Paris Austin take on Deshaun Taylor. That'd be pretty fun.
That should be pretty good. But their schedule, you would say Boise's schedule's better than this, though, who we just talked about?
I would say so, but Fresno State's schedule's pretty solid.
I think it's more – I'd say Boise, I guess, technically top-heavy because of those Oregon games. But maybe this one might be a bit more balanced, I think.
There is some balance, for sure.
Yeah, being more challenged more often than Boise might be. Because Weber State's usually pretty good in the Big Sky. Except the Big West schools, Long Beach State's usually all right. So they're not any pushover. But I noticed in their schedule, you see they don't travel very far. Are they pulling to St. Mary's here? What's up with this?
I mean, it works for now. I think you don't want to put too much of a test on your guys in the first year of the new head coach.
It's nice, though, because like, it's too much things. But like, they get Cal at home. They play a home stretch of December 28th until December 29th, they're all at home. That's nice, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think Fresno State could get up to 9-10 wins in non-conference play.
So when they get to league play, who would be like they're probably for me the same category as Boise State. They're kind of a team that, like I said, you lost to Fresno or you lost to Boise. Like it wouldn't shock me too much that they host New Mexico and beat them for the home leg of that game.
I mean, yeah, Fresno State's capable of beating most of the top three, top four teams in the conference, I'd say.
I just want to see when they play, like, Taylor have, like, a 45-point game. We need a guy from any – we already got Justin James. We're going to have two guys who can put up 35 points any given night. I want to see Wyoming – one of my games of the year is Wyoming Fresno State. Let's just see what happens.
Oh, man, that would be so much fun. They play in Laramie, they both just go off.
They play in Laramie. They do get them twice this year. They get the home and home. So that's going to be a sneaky good under-the-radar game. If you want to watch points, it's I'm not sure. It looks like it's going to be Mountain West streaming for the game in Fresno. I'm not sure about Wyoming. Same thing. So check those ones out. Those are going to be pretty nice to see how many points they get put up. But they have, like, oh, man, they got tough stretches too, man. Look at that. Nevada at Boise, San Diego State. It's hard too. When you look at league play, it's like, oh, they have a tough stretch. Everybody has a tough stretch here and there. So it's like, oh, if you go through three games, but those couple are quite interesting. They do get San Jose State end of the year, which is always, you know what I mean? Who doesn't want that, right? Who does not want
That's
to play
right.
the Spartans on the final week of the season? I don't know. Overall, they're a team. Where do you put them middle of the pack? Could they finish top two? Would that be too much to ask for a first year
Yeah,
coach?
I think top two is pushing it. I think their ceiling is probably third or fourth.
All right, third or fourth. All right, let's move along. Do we need anything else you want to add about this team here? Or are we good? We're talking about Taylor and Houston. Excuse me.
I think we've touched on just about everything. I just saw my phone light up. Rothstein tweeted that Isaac Lekelly, who was a former Fresno State signee, just had 18 points for Oklahoma State in a scrimmage. So,
dude,
not to end on a sour note, but that's too bad.
Stick around,
Rodney,
man.
Yeah, Rodney Terry now with UTEP. He's been poaching a lot of Fresno State guys.
He has. All right, so let's move on to the next game here. Or excuse me, I'm in football mode. We got games. Team, because we'll get to games soon enough. We'll finally get to talk about games in about, depends next time we podcast. But next team, I think we should discuss San Diego State because they're pretty hyped up at what they can do this year.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move to the Aztecs.
What's your laugh level of them saying they'll beat Nevada for sure for the conference title? What level of laughter would that be, 1 to 5, with 5 being hysterical, crying?
Like a 3?
3 middle. That's what I thought.
What do you think? Are you at a 5?
I'm more of a 4.5. 4. I it's not possible.
Okay.
It's not impossible, but come on. It's like, no. I don't think I'm not going to say, well, okay, I shouldn't say no, because they did play them well. They beat them in the tournament and the final game of the regular season, right? I believe it was. Something like that. But I'm not discounting. It sounds like I'm discounting San Diego State, but again, I like teams that score offense, as people complain to me in the football show. Like, you only like offense. I'm like, true, because points are fun, right? But I would say it's like, if it's Nevada or the field, it's Nevada, clearly. Like, you say, like, you're one of your bold picks, Final Four Nevada. We talked about last time. Matt Norlander is basically saying CBS, if it was Kentucky, Kansas, heck, even Texas, Arizona on their jersey, they'd be number one preseason heavy favorite to win the whole thing. Like, they'd be 3-1 to win the national title if they had a different name on the front of their jersey. And so I'm going to go like a 4.5 because it's not impossible, but I would pick Nevada in every game this year. I don't care.
I'm changing my answer. I'm going down to a 2.
Ooh, what's up with that? Why?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Though I understand where you're coming in with your rebuttal there, and Nevada's a top 10 team, and like the stuff that Norlander said, but I don't know if I'm sold on Nevada defensively, and that's what makes San Diego State
good.
Wait,
but San Diego State, what offense do they have, man? Come on.
Well, I mean, it's not bad. You have Devin Watson and Jalen McDaniels and Matt Mitchell. So there's 3 double-digit scores right there.
No, it is.
It's better than it was.
Half kidding. But still, it's like you're right because, well, we don't want to make this Nevada preview, but I think you're right for what they can do defensively. And as we mentioned, they have all these new guys coming in. They're not used to playing fewer minutes per game. And which could be a great or could be, who knows, we'll see how it goes when they open up against a decent BYU team and going up against a guy with Yoli Childs who could be, like, does AP go 3 deep All-American typically, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He could be a potential, like, All-American guy for BYU. Yoli Childs is that good. Or he could win West Coast Conference Player of the Year in that league. So, we'll see how that goes game one. But for the Aztecs, that's the one thing I want to see. Like, I want the offense. It's like what I say in football as well. If their offense is anything decent, they're like impossible to beat. If this offense gets a little bit better, and their defense did struggle, it wasn't as dominant as it has been the past couple of years, but if their offense can come close to level their defense, like even, say, 15% closer, they could beat Nevada. They could be a Sweet 16 team, but you got to kind of show me a little bit. Offense will be more consistent than a one-year thing.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened in their Mountain West tournament game against Nevada. They were just unconscious from the field. Everything was going in. Devin Watson was hitting everything, and that's going to happen sometimes. But my main concern for San Diego State is their depth, because their bench is going to be almost entirely freshmen or lightly played sophomores. Like, Jordan Shackle's projected to be their only non-freshman bench player, and he scored 3 points a game last year. And that's not to say that he's not good. I think he's going to develop into a pretty solid basketball player. But that's my concern, because Nevada has 15, 17-point scores coming off the bench, and San Diego State has freshmen and some unproven guys. So I think that's where Nevada distances itself from the rest of the pack. But to say that San Diego State isn't capable of winning a game in the NCAA tournament, I think would be pretty silly.
Jalen McDaniels is going to be really good.
I'm so stoked to watch him play this year.
Because he came on late last year, like, and just kind of started tearing it up and doing amazing things. And he, like, we mentioned Sean Taylor, player of the year. McDaniels could be in the mix as well, should be in the mix, assuming he improves as much as he can. One quick fact from our good buddies at Three Man Weave. I'm looking over some of their kind of studying up. Did you take a look at that KenPom chart of their offensive efficiency over the past almost 20 years, 16 years?
What's that?
They've been top 65 KenPom only three times since 2002.
Yikes. And, yeah, it just hasn't been an offensive-led program.
And so if that could change with like McDaniels, maybe even Jeremy Hemsley does something at the guard position, they're going to need their starters to score points. So like Watson, they're great. Like you mentioned, Watson, Mitchell, McDaniels are really good. And I think I'm going to say this is the year they're going to be I'm debating on saying this out loud or not.
Keep it to myself. Go for it. Go for it.
Oh, this is a super hot take.
Okay, let's
see. They might have the best offense in the conference.
Ooh, man.
Am I going too far on a limb on that?
Nevada fans are going to hate you for that. But what's your explanation? I'm curious.
Well, the improvement in McDaniels from year one to year two, right? That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That like he only scored what 10 points last year, 11 points. If I know they have fewer players all around, which is an issue because if they have less players, they take more shots, you can get more tired. But I'm thinking the experience they have they're super confident from last year as well. They made the NCAA tournament by winning the Mountain West Conference tournament. They beat Nevada twice. They have guys back who were young last year. And also, look at Brian Dutcher. His first year, like I mentioned, the adjusted offenses. He was a 77th in KenPom, which would have been like fifth ever compared to any Steve Fisher team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's already starting a leg up on already having a pretty good offense. And so I just think the experience coming back, that's why I think, okay, if they're not the best, they'll be the best improved, like say – whatever metric you want to use, like their percentage jump will be probably the biggest in the conference. I'm confident saying that their jump from last year to this year, say adjusted offense, like say they're 77, could they be a top 40 team offensively, possibly top 50 team adjusted offense?
It could happen. Yeah, so it could happen.
I think they'll have the biggest jump, which could mean they might have the best offense overall in the conference. I'm not saying they will, but hey, you want to go on a limb a little bit? You want to stretch your legs? You see what's out there?
Yeah, that's right. It seemed to me, and I'm curious if it seemed to you as well, that last year's San Diego State offense was just so much more fluid than it was in the last few years of Steve Fisher.
Yeah, sure, because we joked, like, we had podcasts, like, can they shoot 45% from the field? You know what I mean? Like, shoot the ball. They cannot shoot the ball. Or you've had guys like Xavier Thames who'd want to – it was the weirdest thing when he was playing. I think that was the year they lost to Florida Gulf Coast. So he was very athletic. He would take the ball and just – or even Jamal Franklin. Like, look what he's doing in China. Him and Jimmer Fredette are going head-to-head for, like, MVPs the past couple years. Like, he's putting up a ton of points. They would have a guy where they would rush up down the court as fast as they could and would try to fast-break everybody. But their set offense was kind of abysmal, really. It would be kind of like the Houston Rockets a little bit, the team I watch more often than not.
Right.
Where you want a fast-break or let's go down and there's – whatever the shot clock is now, it changes for all the time in college hoops. But – 4 seconds up shot clock and shoot a long three. Why were those guys doing that occasionally for San Diego State? Like they'd go quick and shoot right away. Or they'd hold the ball forever. But you're right, there have been offenses where they just don't look good passing the ball around and moving. They want the defense to lead to fast breaks, which is great. But if that ever stops, you gotta have a set offense that's at least decent.
And their offensive efficiency in the final 3 years of Steve Fisher, they never finished higher than 160th, and they were 77th last year,
mm-hmm.
Led in large part by two freshmen in McDaniels and Mitchell.
There you go.
But like we can see just watching them play, it just seems like they're
fun to watch.
But on offense, yeah, they're fun to watch. They're running plays. They just seem a lot more comfortable and not timid when they're shooting or on the offensive side. So I think they are able to open up a little bit. But I think one of my biggest question marks is regarding Jalen McDaniels, because I think he's in a similar situation as Shakur Justin, who we'll touch on next. And he is a guy who ran mostly the four last year, much like Justin next to Brandon McCoy. McDaniels was paired up with Malik Pope down low, and now he is probably going to move more to the five. unless Nolan Narain is able to improve quite a bit. He was somewhat of a role player last year. So I'm curious how that works out, because he played the five in San Jose's exhibition this past weekend. I'm not saying he isn't capable of doing it, but it is a bit of an adjustment. And Jalen McDaniels, though a lot of people have said that he's been putting on muscle and such, he still is a pretty skinny guy at 6'10". He doesn't have a ton of weight or build on him. And I think that does change throughout the season as he continues to work out and fill out his body. But that is something to keep an eye out on.
All right, so with who they play this year's schedule, the biggest thing everybody's looking forward to is head out to the best tournament name ever, Maui Jim, Maui Invitational.
That's
right. With hopefully, are we getting a Bill Walton Duke San Diego State matchup possibly? Can that happen? Be on the call, please?
I mean, I don't know if I would enjoy that. I'm still not a Bill Walton advocate. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Jeez, what's wrong with you? That's okay. But that tournament is what we're looking forward to the most. They face Duke, who doesn't want to see Zion Williamson throw down at, like, what is he, 6'8", 500 pounds, and 2% body fat?
That's going to be so fun.
Giant dude. That will – they're probably not going to win that game, right? No.
No, but I think it could be competitive.
It'll be a great – because what is Duke? Are they number two preseason? Number three?
I think they're number four, I want to say.
I wish their schedule had it here, but that game, it's a decent tip time because it's noon in Hawaii. So it's also, what's that, 4 Pacific, right? 5 Mountain Time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, leave work early, folks. Come on, it's around Thanksgiving, right? The Thanksgiving week?
Yeah, I got to get out of class and watch this.
Just get pull up the Watch ESPN app. There you go, Eli.
Like, yeah, that'll work.
You don't get the whole week off of school?
On the 19th, I'm pretty sure I'm in class.
But that
it's the student hustle.
I know, that's what you gotta do. It's like, come on. So I'm trying to pull up the bracket here. I didn't have it. Who else is in this tournament? I'm trying to see.
Well, San Diego State will play either Auburn or Xavier in their second game.
Okay. You also got, like, Arizona's not very good in this year. Gonzaga, Illinois, Iowa State, Auburn.
It's stacked. It's a loaded field.
It's always a great field because I think is it? I'm thinking next year. Sorry, but yeah, here's the schedule here. But this will help either. If the Mountain West is going to get multiple at-large teams this year, which is a possibility, I think, beating Duke goes a long way. But even if they don't, which seems the most likely outcome, playing Auburn or Xavier is not bad. Heck, any team they play will be a pretty good team. Like, any team to win will, depending what the net thing is, I don't know how that's figured out, even though we got a sneak peek of it, I think, earlier this week. They're probably playing a tier one game in all four of these, right? Or all three of these.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. Getting two wins in Maui would be huge.
Yeah, they can get two wins because that'd be a fifth-place finish. If they can get one, and then it'd be even better, but we'll see. That's going to be the most high-profile game, the non-conference slate, you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Not for them, but I mean the conference as a whole, any team.
I think playing Duke is going to be the biggest non-conference game.
Okay, because I assume you don't have time to finish ranking this, so we'll just discuss that now.
Yeah.
That's a process we just started like 2 months ago, not 2 weeks ago, essentially, but... Then they ease up a little bit. They do have BYU, which is a pretty good, which will be, no, scratch that. That'll be an amazing game because they hate each other so bad.
That's right.
Yeah. BYU, they go to Cal, it's another Cal team. They always play San Diego. Luckily, it's not at Petco Park. The dreaded Missouri Valley Illinois State game. Is Illinois State, are they supposed to be good this year?
Yeah, they're supposed to be pretty good.
Aren't they preseason Missouri Valley champs, I thought? Am I right on
I don't believe so. I think it's still Loyola Chicago, but they're probably top three as well. They'll be solid this year.
And they have a decent schedule. They got Cal State Northridge. They got a Brown. They got some Ivy League in there. It's a decent – however, again, I forget what I mentioned last week about something with schedule, but when you schedule something called Cal State Dominguez Hills, you can't complain about other team schedules.
Yeah, there usually is one of those kind of like California schools on their schedule that is just that – I don't know who they are, but San Diego State just runs them out of the building.
Play. I'm like, seriously, why play them? Because, yeah, it may not count, but play. Maybe they're playing it because it doesn't count. Because here's a serious question, Eli. Maybe this is kind of gaming the system a little bit. Why play, say, a sub-200 KenPom team from the Big West or West Coast Conference that'll drag your thing down all year, your numbers down, or play a non-D1 school that doesn't count?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually wiser just to play the non-D1 team.
Okay, that's what I was thinking there. It's kind of what Missouri Valley used to do years ago with the RPI kind of. Not finagling it, but they'd play middle of the pack road teams against games they could win against like Big Ten teams. So they play like whoever's at the bottom of the Big Ten every year. So
You know what I just pulled up on my computer screen real quick?
What do you got?
I have the San Diego State San Diego box score from the Petco Park game.
What happened?
Oh my gosh. San Diego State led their San Diego led this one 39-18 with 15 minutes left.
Oh man.
Aren't you glad those days are over?
I'm hoping so. That's my point. I want this offense to be fun because I don't want to be Big Ten basketball. I don't want a score to possibly realize this is a good football game when it's really a bad basketball game.
Gosh.
Like you'll see this like this week, especially this Saturday, the next month essentially. All right, you see random game. Okay, it's a 42-20 game. Well, that's a big scoring football game. No, there's 16 minutes left in some Big Ten MAC game or something.
It's usually a Wisconsin game, isn't it? It seems to usually be Wisconsin.
Or Big Ten, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a Purdue playing basketball or something who doesn't score points.
Hey, don't you dare hate on the Boilermen.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize. Hey, they're doing good at football this year. That's got to be something.
That's right.
But your Huskies, ooh, oof, yikes.
Yeah.
Same with my Utes. Tyler Huntley, done for the year. Unfortunate. Stupid collarbone.
Here.
All right, so are they going to finish second in the conference, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think anything besides second would be a bit of a surprise.
Okay. All right, excellent. So let's go on to our next team. We're talking UNLV now. Is that our final team here?
Yep.
Rebel fans, do they not like us as much? I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes.
I mean, they're not going to like us after what I have to say.
We're more, I'd say we're realistic, right?
Yeah, but sometimes that's what drives the hate.
All right, so you start off, what's the thing they're going to yell at us about again? For the record, I probably muted all the people that yell or fight with us on Twitter accounts, so go spin the win if you want.
Can I dive into one of my bold predictions that I posted earlier today?
Yeah, we'll get into those after this, but what is it? What do you got?
This doesn't feel that bold to me. But I wrote it down here because I think a lot of people are going to disagree, and that's fine. But I think the Rebels are only going to finish ahead of San Jose State and Air Force this year.
Oh, boy. They are going to be worse than, let me pull the team here, Colorado State?
Yes.
Who just had one of their, who is it that's redshirting this year? One of their key
players? Deion James is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Behind Utah State, who has a new head coach.
Yes.
And does not have Kobe McEwen anymore.
That's right.
They have Nick Duncan 2.0 and Sam Merrill. They're going to finish worse than Wyoming?
Yes.
What's your reasoning behind that?
Well, okay, here's the deal with UNLV. They were eighth last year.
So it's not a stretch. You say so it's not really a stretch if you think about it.
No, when you think about it. And last year's team had Brandon McCoy, a five-star McDonald's All-American, Jovan Warren and Jordan Johnson, who both averaged more than 13.5 points per game. Each of those three guys are gone. And a lot of people have UNLV picked as high as fourth. And I don't know where that comes from.
Dude, because it's not like Rebels. The ghost of Tark is on the sideline. Come on.
Gosh, I don't get it. I don't get it. And Shakur Justin, I think, is certainly one of the best players in this conference. But when they lose Brandon McCoy, that means a lot of the defensive assignments that opponents are going to show this year will focus in on Juicing because he's so dominant down low. So I don't know if he's going to be nearly as effective as he was last year playing alongside McCoy. They don't have any five-star freshmen coming in this year, though Trey Woodbury and Bryce Hamilton are really good shooters. I just don't know if this is going to turn around as a lot of people imagine.
You know why it's not going to turn around? I'm looking at our staff vote for the when we did our preseason predictions for order of finish. We had one vote between third and ninth place.
See, no one really seems to know.
Yeah, there was 2 5th and 2 7ths. It was all over the place. It's part of it is because it's the name, which they'll get a little bump for that because it's the Rebels. That's why they're still able to get some good talent to come to town occasionally. But you have to actually watch them. They haven't been good in years, right?
They haven't been what UNLV typically is. And I'm
What should they be? Like, should they be? Because I picked them. You picked them 7th. I picked them 8th. Or wait, no, sorry. I had them 7th. You had them 8th. And this is back in like 2 months ago. We did all these, but that's fine because your bold prediction can be different. So seriously, what should expectations be year in, year out? Should they be a team where they should be conference contenders every year? Is that what the level of play should be? I know that's what fans say it is. but is that realistic ever what we've seen in the past decade?
So I think it's
basically since Lon Kruger left, they haven't been that good.
I mean, I think that is what the expectation should be, or what UNLV fans and administration want it to be. I think they should compete for a top three spot in the Mountain West and compete for an NCAA tournament bid just about every season.
Yeah, I think top four should be – I think that's where they should be, right? Every year. They should be competing for top third of the conference.
And if UNLV misses the tournament this year, it'll be the sixth year in a row that the NCAA tournament does not have UNLV in its bracket.
Distant memories, folks. Jimmy Kimmel is not coming back to sit on the court side to watch these games. He's a big Rebel fan, so you got to get him in. How you get him to T-Mobile? It's Thomas and Mac. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are they gonna get him to come courtside for a game when he's not doing a show live? That's where you know you made it, man. Get Kimmel back on the courtside, right?
Yeah. Once you have the Stars back in Vegas, and that's the goal.
So for the team, realistically, like you mentioned, they're gonna probably finish bottom third. If they I don't know why some people have them fourth. I would say. Here's the reason why it could happen. Like the tiers, you have Nevada, Aztecs, New Mexico are clearly the top three teams. I would still say UNLV is behind, kind of, they're in the same jumble of Boise and Fresno State, but I'd still put them behind those two teams. And depending what Justin James does for Wyoming, he gets a prize and knock off UNLV twice because he scores 38 points. And so, best case scenario for me is maybe fourth, and that's kind of reaching, I think.
It is the best case scenario. I mean, we have essentially five teams that are almost locked in right now, with Nevada first, either San Diego State or New Mexico in second or third, and then San Jose State and Air Force at 10 and 11, right? So four through nine, that's wide open. So UNLV, their ceiling is probably fourth, and their basement is probably ninth. And I just so happen to have them in ninth.
So let me ask you this. I'm looking at their roster. They have five or six new players this year. Could this be a team where they pull a San Diego State where they start off doing okay and then kind of peak late in the year?
Well, it's going to have to be the opposite of what it was last year, because UNLV peaked early and then they faded late.
Exactly.
You know, when we were at the start of December and UNLV was looking arguably like the best team in the conference, so we did have a power ranking in 1 week where UNLV was at number one. They had those two overtime games against Northern Iowa and Arizona. They looked great in both of those. And they finished non-conference play 11-2, and then they just faded down the stretch. So something has to change, and UNLV is going to have to stay healthy throughout the year. But Marvin Menzies, it seemed like he's a bit more confident with this group and making sure that they sustain their success throughout the year. And I think that's going to be the key for this team.
I think their non-conference schedule is not impressive. Sorry. I don't like it.
Why is that?
Well, look who they play, man. They play a bunch of whoever's from the Big West and West Coast Conference, right?
It is Big West loaded, that's for sure.
The first month they play home games every week, every day. LMU, UC Riverside, Oakland, Pacific, Southern Utah. I guess, is that a throwback to Todd Simon or something? To, hey, drive down the 60 miles to play us? Valpo, then they do get Cincinnati. Valpo's okay. Don't disregard Valpo. Cincinnati should be pretty good as typical. But come on. Then they do go to Illinois to play. They get BYU at T-Mobile, so neutral, I guess, or whatever. But then they head out to Hawaii for the Diamond Classic. But this non-conference schedule doesn't excite me at all if I'm a Rebel fan.
I mean, the first half is very weak, but the second half isn't that bad.
Oh, it does get better, yeah. So Valpo, Cincy, Illinois, BYU, and then whoever they play out in Hawaii, which could include Colorado, potentially, Pac-12 team. So, and Diamond Classic's usually a pretty good tournament over Christmas. So there is that, but it reverses my point where they'll start out strong because they could, even though you predict them at the bottom, why can't they be undefeated heading into the Valpo or Cincy game?
They certainly could. Yeah, they certainly could.
Do you think they have any chance of beating Cincinnati?
On the road? No, I don't think so.
No, it's at home. It's at Thomas and Mac.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a home game, yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I'm on D1 DACA, and they have it listed at Cincinnati. At home, no, I still don't know about that. Cincinnati is a pretty tough program.
sure, we remember last year the Nevada game, so there's that. So get a bit of a game, let them come back.
It could. I mean, it should be a competitive game, though.
Should be a decent one, but then overall, like, they'll have some wins, they'll have some confidence. And then when they start league play a little bit, they got CSU, which should be fine. Hosty Wyoming, which iffy, but it'll be. I don't know. I just don't see, like, the only teams I'd say they're for sure better than, like, if I'm gonna be, I guess I should look at my ranking they have, but, like, if I'm gonna say like the only teams for sure I'll say 100% they're better than is Air Force and San Jose State. They are probably better than Utah State. And probably Colorado State. That still puts them maybe 7.
What about Wyoming? What do you think about Wyoming?
I would say they have the best player on the court, so I'd give them the edge. In Justin James.
You think Justin James is better than Shakur Justin?
I think so, yeah.
I'm not saying he isn't. I think that's just kind of interesting.
He's asking. I think Justin James can score 45 points if he wants to, and I don't think Justin can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point. Like, again, I'm an offensive guy apparently, so there's that.
But well, like, and, I mean,
it's,
and
it's close. It's close, yeah. But I'd still put Wyoming slightly ahead. Like, what I'm saying, like, probably for sure, those are the only teams I'd say I'd put UNLV ahead of if I had to pick. Like, if you're – yeah, that's where I'm just going that route. Like, I'm not saying they're better than UNLV or Wyoming and vice versa, but I'd put Wyoming just above them, like I did in my ranking, so.
Mm-hmm. They lose a lot on offense, and their defense last year was bad, and it might be worse this year now that Brandon McCoy is gone. I mean, they were 174th in defensive efficiency last year with a 7-foot McDonald's All-American on the team. So. Like, that's a tough situation right there.
All right, so what's your well, for the Rebels here, I guess we already talked about we're replacing them, but would they only accept an NIT bid, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I would think so. And I still think UNLV could get up to the 20 wins again. Yeah, and I think a lot of that credit is due to the non-conference schedule, which they should stack up a lot of wins.
Yeah, that's the only reason why non-conference, but is it good enough to get them to that spot?
Well, I certainly don't think that they're better than last year, and last year they didn't get to the NIT. They didn't play any postseason games.
Marvin Menzies has not been to postseason tournament since he's been there, so. All right, should we get to your stupid, crazy, bold picks, and I'll toss in a few extras of my own?
Yeah, let's do it.
So these are always fun. Go check these out. They're at MWR.com. They'll be on the homepage, probably the top picture for the next couple days because it's basketball season. And sorry, football. During this week, you may take a small step back. Small, I said. But, no, it's what we do here. So you pulled out 9 bold projections.
Should I read them off and then you give me your thoughts?
Yeah, let's do that. Go for it. Start with them. Let's go with one.
All right. Number one, I have Wyoming's Justin James scores 25 points a game.
That's not bold enough for me.
Oh, man. Higher than 25?
I like him a lot, man. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's not going to average 30.
No, I would say... No, you're at the right spot to make me question, like, should he score 27 or 22 a game?
Wow, that's the hot spot right there.
That is. So I think 20 is a given, right? Because he did average almost 19 a game last year. I think it's a good bold one. I would say he can achieve that.
Okay. We need to attach a metric to this. 1 through 10 boldness.
I'd say that one's like a 6.
Okay.
That's fairly bold. All right.
Next one, Justinian Jessup, Anthony Mathis, and Sam Merrill combined to make 350 three-pointers. And just as a side note, they made 286 last year.
Oh, man. I think they'll get that because Sam Merrill will get more shots because McEwen's not on the team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And am I correct on that Craig Smith likes to be more – push the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, he'll run far more tempo than Duryea did.
That's what I was thinking. So – I think it could be. I think it'll be because Mathis will get more attempts this year, even though New Mexico has a few more players coming in from transfer and eligibility. I think the way he played later in the year, if I'm correct, he kind of – plus, didn't he miss a couple games, that stupid odd suspension type deal thing? Wasn't he involved in that as well?
Who's that?
Mathis. Wasn't he one of the Lobos players that kind of got caught up in that?
I don't believe so.
Oh, maybe not. He played 34 games last year. Yeah. I will go 4, and I will say – I'll give that a 7.
Okay.
I think
all
we'll
right.
do it. It'll be close. Okay. Yeah,
next
be close.
One. New Mexico is the Mountain West final undefeated team.
Whew. On the surface, that's like a 10+.
Ooh, okay.
Because just without reading your blurb, because mm-hmm. you got to look at the non-conference schedule. Like we mentioned, UNLV did quite well in non-conference season because of who you play. So if you're not, let me pull up their, I should have this in front of me, but their non-conference slate. But you're correct where Nevada opens, like, to be honest, as I mentioned, I talked about Yoli Childs earlier for a hot second for the San Diego State. Here's the thing. This is going to be a hot take, though. This might be 11. Nevada might lose game one. There's a possibility.
Yeah, I've been hearing that training a bit more the last few days.
I'm not Will Maupin saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that BYU is a good team. Here's a couple reasons why. They really should have been second to West Coast Conference. St. Mary's is being overrated. I think they should not be number three on that list, BYU, even though it's like a 1-point difference. And the only reason BYU got a first place vote because you can't vote for yourself. So Mark Few voted for BYU. So there's that as well.
Uh-huh.
But they could be, I don't think they'll be 0-1, but Yoli Childs, I've seen him play. He's really good. Now, had BYU had Haas in the game, I think, was it Nick Haas? Is that who suspended 9 games?
Wait, Tyler?
Tyler Haas, one of the Haas guys. There's a couple. He's out for the first 9 games. If he's playing, I'd be more likely to say that could happen. But it wouldn't like shock me to the floor that they lose that game. But they're going to win. However, when they have – now, this is New Mexico. Northridge, they have – I don't know without their best player. New Mexico State at home. UTEP, who has a new coach. At Bradley. I think you're – I still think it's a hot thing because New Mexico State always gives them trouble. And they do play St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Nevada has, they have BYU, they have Pacific. Who else do they have early on?
For Nevada?
Yeah. Do you have that in front of you?
I mean, I don't have the early games, but I did note that they play South Dakota State, BYU, and then away from home they have Loyola Chicago, USC, and Arizona State. So that's not easy.
Do you want me to call it if you're right or not, or just kind of explain what we're doing with it? Because it's a tough,
well,
it's
what
a good
what
one.
Number are you attaching to this in terms of boldness?
Oh, man, I will go with a 9. I'll go a 9.
Okay. You know what's funny? I saw earlier today. I think Gary Parrish wrote that he predicts that Nevada is going to be the nation's final undefeated team. So that's kind of funny that I go the opposite route with that one.
That is true, because I did hear – I've been listening to their podcast a bit more just because to be a better basketball fan, you should listen to their show because it's amazing. He said like they could be like 28-0 or something. Ridiculous.
It's possible.
You're not far off, but the boldness is – I'll go a 10. I think it's boldness.
Okay,
I think it's it is a possibility because no kidding. BYU is a good enough team who wins 20-plus games every year, and they could lose game one. Because another couple reasons. You have a little company, new talent coming in. Yes, you have most of your starters back, but how is Musselman going to handle the rotation? I know the Washington scrimmage was a scrimmage, but I think they're going to win probably 10-plus points, but I would not be shocked if that's a game closer than people think.
Yeah, it could be a close game. All right, I'm moving on to number 4. I have Nico Carvalho logging 15 double-doubles this year.
Ooh, 15. He had 13 in 68 games, or appearances. Same thing, yep. I guess, not starts. They're going to play probably – so if you cut that into a season, that's about 6.5. If you think about it, boldness, I'll go like a 7, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Because I think he'll score enough. I just don't know if he'll get the rebounds or any other double-double. Are you assuming it's rebounds and points?
Yes.
Okay. Just make it clear because you can, 10 steals a game. Go for it, man. That'd be awesome.
Oh, gosh.
That boldness would be a 10.
If Carvalho's getting 10 steals a game, CSU's going on the way.
It's not going to happen, but I would say, like, when's the last, like, how. Getting a double double in college basketball is not like super common either. Usually,
It's true. But like the reason I included this one is Nico Carvalho was pretty close to averaging a double double last year.
What did he average last year?
10.3 rebounds a game and 9.2 points per game.
Ooh. Hmm.
So
actually, it could happen. He's gonna get it. He will. He'll get it. I'll say he gets it.
Okay. All right.
I think I'll go one step further. I think he'll average a double double.
Yeah, all right, that's fair enough.
There we go.
Okay.
Next
we have Trayshon Thurman, the Oklahoma transfer. I'm saying he's going to start more games than 5-star recruit Jordan Brown.
I'll say this, Jordan Brown's not starting game one.
Okay.
I think it's good. Well, I'm confident in saying that. Your reasoning, because the hype of both guys, I guess, but people love Brown, they want to see the young guy start right away. I'd say you're right. I think I'd go with you. As for boldness, out from people who love Nevada basketball, they say put in Brown. He's probably they're probably saying he could be player of the year. Maybe better than Caleb Martin. Put him out there.
Yep.
But I would say boldness for the basket, for the person who thinks not right. I don't want to say rational because that sounds rude to Nevada fans, but more well ground. I'll say grounded fan person. I would say boldness for me is probably like a maybe 3, but for other people probably 5+.
All right, that sounds good. All right, next one. We have San Jose State winning at least one conference game.
I love your pitcher as well. you're right, because they're not favored in any game.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's bold because how many did they win last year?
One. They beat Utah State.
And they don't have Ryan Agnew anymore, right? And
They're top 3 scorers from last season.
Sorry, that's a basketball player for San Diego State.
Yeah, Ryan Willidge.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, Willidge, yeah. Do they get New Mexico? Or not New Mexico. They get everybody at home once, right? Do they get Air Force at home?
Yes, they do get Air Force at home.
They're gonna win one conference game. They will.
Okay. That's their most likely non-conference, conference win at 37%, according to KenPom.
So you're not saying more than one, but just one.
It's just at least one.
Yeah, they'll get at least one. And then as for boldness... Okay. I'll probably go with the 2 on that. I'm sorry, 2.5.
Okay.
Just because it's one win, they could still, you could lock your way into one win. Now, if you said 2, whew, that'd be much a different story we're talking about here.
That's upper echelon there. Okay, 7th, which we already discussed. I had UNLV finishing only ahead of San Jose State and Air Force.
10? Yes.
Woo, all right.
Because people hate you for that. That's why. Not like, as for me, how close you can be to that, you're closer to being, they are closer to being that than they are to being 4th.
Okay.
So. Next one.
And then the Mountain West regular season title is decided on the last day between Nevada and San Diego State.
It's hard to predict. Because what this means is that obviously both teams are really good. It depends if we follow the Gary Parrish route or your route, say when Nevada is going to lose. If Nevada's not losing, then it's really hot because that also means San Diego State's not losing at all either.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's about an 8-ish. Because Nevada hosts Aztecs, so if it decides, you mean deciding the regular season title?
Yeah, so the winner of that game wins the Mountain West regular season title.
Outright?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, because if it's outright, that means like Nevada's lost probably at least 2 games in, or at least one. Probably
They could lose at least 2 conference games. It wouldn't stun me.
Let me ask this. I'll give you a bold pick. Nevada loses 3 conference games.
Okay.
Where would you put that at?
Like 7.
Only 7? So that'd be losing probably to at New Mexico, at San Diego State, and some weird game which probably could be a repeat loss at Wyoming? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so final one here. Oh, boy.
Okay, the last one. Nevada reaches the Final 4.
Clearly that's a 10. I don't care if you're Kentucky or Kansas or Duke.
Jeremy, they're 7th in the AP poll.
Yeah. When's the last time? I understand. I don't care what team you are. Give me a Final Four, I'd say it's a 10. Hear me out.
I see where you're going with this.
Because obviously there's a million things that have to go into consideration. I'm not going to go way off the path. Like, oh, this guy, Lindsey Drew type injury like last year in his Achilles. But a bunch of new players. Schedule strength is okay. It takes a lot of luck to get the Final Four as well. Like, look who Nevada faced last year. And on the way to the tournament, I mean, like, you played double-digit seed to go to the Final Four in the Chicago. So there's some luck factor. I'd say it's a 10 because it's never happened before. They've never, outside of having, can't think of the guys, but Fasenkis, wasn't he with Nevada? I want to say.
What's that?
Was it Fasenkis about a decade ago with Nevada? They went pretty far.
Yeah, Fasenkis was not that long ago, but about a decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just hard to do that. That's my point. It's extremely hard, so... As for, okay, let me rephrase this. The achievement is a 10, right?
I mean, it's elusive. It's incredibly hard to accomplish.
As for the narrative of what people are saying college basketball is across the country, it's really probably a 6.5.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are predicting them to go to the Final Four. So maybe I'm mixing up what I should how we're playing the game here, making up rules as we go. But I guess I'll go a 7 because
All right.
it's – it's not out of the it's not overly out of the possibility that they do not get it, but it's still going to be an extremely difficult challenge, and they would be the best season ever for a Mountain West Conference school to get to the Final Four
easily, and one of the best by a mid-major ever as well. So, do you have any bold prediction that you want to toss in here real quick?
Oh man, I had my one about three losses. A bold prediction, I will say. Let me pull up my team, my rank. Oh, I have to close the page. Oh crap! I'm looking at this, my standing too. Here we go. I will say, three teams will make the Mountain West. Will make the NCAA tournament. Three teams.
Do you know which ones?
Yeah, Nevada, San Diego State, New Mexico.
Okay.
Even losing New Mexico being a step down player wise. And I'll go even a step further. That'll be including Nevada winning the conference tournament.
Do you think Nevada's going to win the conference tournament?
Yeah, and they'll get three teams in there. So it won't be a situation last year.
Dang.
I'll go that far. I'll do it.
Ooh, that, man.
Come on. You gotta go bold, right?
that's big time.
Why not? New Mexico looks good. Like, seriously, what if New Mexico's like 28-6, lose a couple non-conference games, split versus Nevada and San Diego State, and make the title game?
Because that non-conference schedule is bad.
It is. You want a bold, man. I'm giving you bold here.
Okay. No, that, I like it.
How I said three and Nevada loses, you'd be more on board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, say Nevada, like yeah, last year, sure. Where Nevada loses semifinals, where, say, it's San Diego State, New Mexico again,
mm-hmm.
and then both those get in, plus Nevada. That's more plausible. I will say, okay, this one's bold, and it's going to make Spartans fans cry. Winless. I know they have Life Pacific week one. I will say winless Division One.
I swear, if you picked them to lose the Life Pacific.
I clarified. Division One.
Okay. You think they're you think they're gonna lose to Bethune Cookman at home? It could happen.
Where are they?
They're favored by 1 point on KenPom. Oh no.
It's a pick 'em, man. Come on. Why not, man? You gotta go. I'm going. You asked for a bold, man. I'm giving you tens here. Straight tens.
No, it's just. Oh, it's bad, Jeremy. It's bad.
All right, let me. Okay, I got one more.
All right.
That one's too easy. I was gonna say Duke and San Diego State, but I don't want to go that route. That's kind of. That'd be more fun than that. But I was a sad one. I need to end with a good one. Let's say.
Like an individual one, maybe.
I'm trying to think.
Individual player.
I do like my. Should I counter your Justin James and say 30 a game?
Oh my goodness.
No, because he I don't even know the last good average 30 of the game. I will say I got a good one here. Let's go to Colorado State here. We haven't talked about them a lot. Well, they're losing the players, so maybe not. My dream is Air Force to go hockey south playing basketball, but that's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Utah State finishes fourth in the conference.
Fourth?
Yeah. Is that bold enough?
That's bold. Okay. Well, do you have a little tidbit on that?
Just because. I like to say Merrill.
Just because.
Why can't I just go just because? Why is that bad to say?
I don't know.
I should have some reason to back it up. No, you're a three-point thing where Merrill will get a lot more chances to shoot the ball. And he will be the key guy in the offense. So, and he's another year, even though it's a new system, that's a step back. Is that too? That's not bold, though, really, is it?
I think it's pretty bold.
Okay.
I mean, they were ninth in the preseason poll. So.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. I like it.
I'll go bold. And remember, people. Because there was a certain prediction I made for a certain football team in town where people crucified me when it was a title labeled bold, stupid, utterly impossible to happen, essentially, and I picked something crazy, and people still got after me. So that's what these picks kind of are. So deal with it.
What is the highest individual point total in a single game this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. How much or who? By who?
All right, let's do both.
I gotta stick with Justin James, right? I have to.
Okay.
How
many do you think?
I think there'll be a 50-point game this year.
Oh, man.
Come on. Why not?
That's wild. Oh, that would be awesome.
When's the last 50-point game? Was it wasn't Jimmer, was it?
For the conference or nationally?
Conference.
Probably Jimmer. I don't think
did
anyone Kawhi else went, would even come close.
Did Kawhi ever do that? Probably not.
No.
What about... Oh no! Frazier from Fresno, did he do it versus Arizona? Or did he put up like 45 or something?
Man, if he scored 50, I feel like I would have remembered.
I remember they came close.
So that had 52 against New Mexico in 2011.
Yeah, in the conference tournament, I remember that, and they just cruised past them. And then Aztecs next game crushed BYU, which is awesome, in the title game with Kawhi Leonard. I will 50. No, can I say 45 instead?
Sure.
I think there'll be a 45-point game, but I'd love to see 50.
Okay. I will go with Deshaun Taylor, and I say he scores 41 in a game this year.
41. Okay. Any team?
High-scoring game. I'll say against Wyoming.
Okay. I think if you're going to get that many points, it's going to be a game where it's back and forth. It's not going to be playing some of this Colorado Christian or Life Pacific team.
Right, right. Also, as a side note, Jordan Caroline had 45 in that crazy New Mexico comeback. Okay. So it's not completely out of the possibility. We could see it.
Interesting. All right. So anything else we need to add? We've got an hour plus on this show.
Man, it's fun. I think we're good. I'm excited for this week.
So we'll be back. I don't know when we'll be back. We need to set a time. I don't want to assume anything. We'll be back maybe in 2 weeks, I think.
Okay.
Once each team has about 4 games in the books, we can kind of go through and see. Maybe there'll be an emergency podcast if something crazy happens, like BYU beats Nevada. I'm just saying.
San Diego State beats Duke by 20.
Yeah, Thanksgiving podcast, right? Turkey time?
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for now. So check out everything on our site. Well, a bunch of basketball stuff. Our goal is to like basically preview every of these games, even that Life Pacific Spartans game. There will be a preview for that one. So read at your own risk if you want to – well, not at your risk, I'm sorry. But read if you want to be – you know, read if you want to be informed, because it might be the one bright spot of the year for the victory.
Good save, Jeremy.
Hey, you know what I'm getting at. It's like – hey, it's tough to be a Spartan basketball fan right now.
No, I got you. Yeah.
So if you want to go to a cheap game, it's probably good to go see those games. Let's see the tickets are. Hold on. Home opener versus Life Pacific. It doesn't have a price in here, so is it free? Usually they have like ESPN puts a little like ticket price, like the Colorado Christian Colorado State game says it's $11 to get in. So I don't know what it'd be for San Jose State. I'm guessing you get in for $8.
Okay. Yeah, I mean it should be cheaper than that. But cheaper all right.
How about this? See if they will you know that those games you donate to the food bank. Maybe it's one of those games. Go bring in some cans of decent canned food and get in. I don't know. Go help some
okay.
out.
Well, I bought my tickets for Washington, Western Kentucky, and that was $8.
Okay.
So if it's $8 for San Jose State, Life Pacific, they're charging a
too much.
Charging a premium.
All right. I think we're officially done here. Check us out, MWR.com. Yeah. We have all of our previews, podcasts, team capsules, I think, for most of the teams we did. Mm-hmm. So, hey, stuff happens. You get what you get with us. But we'll be back talking basketball. We'll power rankings throughout the year. We may or may not have a KenPom schedule thing by me on Monday because it's a lot of work, I'm thinking. But, yeah, check us out. Follow us on Twitter, Eli Bedker. Best way to find a Twitter handle, go to the article where this podcast is coming from. You'll see it there. Or if you go to the MWCY Twitter handle, it's listed there, Bedker_Eli. So, you know, he tweets about basketball. So that's who it is, right?
That's right.
All right, folks. Until next time.